Good morning. That was two great weeks of worship right there. Thank you for that. I saw a quote this past week, or no, it wasn't a quote. It was a like a TikTok reel type thing on Facebook. It talked about raising your hands in worship, and this guy said, "I used to view people as hypocritical who would raise their hand in worship when they might not be living it outside of church on Sunday morning." And he said, "Then he had his children, and even with Elijah. And when Elijah wants me to hold him, he says, hold you. But he lifts those arms up to me." And so this is the least hypocritical thing you could do, actually, is to raise your hands in worship, because you're basically saying, "God, I need you." It is actually you confessing to God that you know you are a sinner, and you know you need him as your Savior. So raising your hands in worship is something that we should be very open to doing, very willing to do, especially as we're singing about all he's done for us. Amen? Let's get into this series today. If you were here in 2020, I did this series for the first time, and it wasn't called Truth Over Tribe then. It was called Kingdom Independence, and I'm basically preaching the exact same message that I preached the first time in that. In 2022, when we had our midterms, I did a two-part series just because I saw the political rhetoric start to rise again, and the hatred that we unfortunately see in politics. And so during this series, I want to do it again because I think Christians need to know how to act when it comes to politics. Absentee ballots were actually supposed to be sent out for North Carolina this past Friday. North Carolina is the earliest voting state with absentee ballots, that type of thing. They were not sent out because there's something being held up in the North Carolina Supreme Court over Robert Kennedy's decision to pull out, but they will be sent out soon. During this series, I will differ from a lot of churches in that a lot of churches would willingly endorse a candidate during a series such as this, and I will not be endorsing any candidate, and I'll be blunt with you, I don't like most of our candidates. I'm probably going to take a road that will make both sides of the political aisle unhappy, but that is one evidence to me that it's probably the biblical road. Political season can be defined by three words: divisive, dramatic, and devastating. It's divisive because you are either on one side or the other, and we tend to view people on the other side as our enemies. And good thing we just got out of a series where we talked about how we should treat our enemies in the kingdom of God. Christians, though, are just as divisive, and in some cases even worse than those in the world. We like to be dramatic during this time. We develop these one-liners and degrading terms for certain candidates, and Christians tend to adopt those one-liners and terms when they are talking about others. And ultimately what happens is it leaves devastation in its path. Relationships are destroyed or severely hurt, and even churches split over things like this. I came across a podcast a few years ago called Truth Over Tribe, and they wrote a book, and that's what we're going to name the series, and I just didn't totally steal it, but I basically did. But Truth Over Tribe, I'm not going to take everything from this book, but they have some really good stuff in this book, and it's basically two guys that get together, and they bring on Democrats, they bring on Republicans, but they look at politics from a Christian perspective. And they willingly, and I love this, they willingly bring people on that they disagree with because they want to model what it looks like to have civil discussions with people that believe differently from you. But they wrote a book, and there's some really good things in this book. And they call it Truth Over Tribe, and what they're basically referring to the political parties as tribes. And I think I might next Sunday or one of the Sundays during the series add in a sermon versus what I used to do and talk about tribalism and how this is built into our core, actually, partially probably because of the fall and because we feel the need to protect ourselves. But we're going to talk about tribalism. So the tribes, when you hear that, that's talking about basically you're either in the conservative camp or you're in the liberal camp. But they give multiple examples in this book, and I just want to read one to you about how tribalism ruins our country and ruins families. This one was during a reunion. They said, somewhere between the potato salad and softball, someone proudly proclaimed that she would never vote for Trump. She was a never-Trumper to her core. Nearby was a Trump supporter who had enough Bush likes that he didn't hold his tongue. Words were exchanged. The mood turned sour. And not so long ago, that would have been the end of it. By the time of the next reunion, everyone would have forgotten, or they at least would have pretended to. But thank goodness for Facebook. It's the perfect place for family disagreements to go nuclear. After a few heated Facebook exchanges, the never-Trumpers decided to boycott the funeral of a family member, the father of young children who died suddenly with an aggressive form of brain cancer. They would rather miss the funeral than see their pro-Trump relatives. Their absence was painful and noticed. The Trumpers responded with not inviting the people on the other political aisle to their weddings. And on it went, and years later, they still haven't reconciled. There's story after story after story in this book, and if you talk with many people, you have heard the disagreements, and you have maybe even experienced it in your own family, how we tend to put the political tribe that we belong to even over our own family. But what that book is about and what this series is going to be about is that we should put the truth of Jesus over everything else. Not only the truth of Jesus, but Jesus is the truth. And so let's learn from Jesus, who is the truth today. C.S. Lewis once said, every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. So when we look at how we should act during political season or just in life in general, we don't need to look to anyone else other than Jesus. We are called to be like Jesus. We're called to be little Christ. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at Jesus' earthly ministry and learn from what he taught, what Paul taught, what Peter taught, what is communicated in the Word of God about how we should act when it comes to politics. Today's going to be more of a foundational sermon, and then we'll dive into some of the deeper stuff in the next few weeks. My first point for you is this, is Jesus is for the concept of government. Jesus is for the concept of government. Matthew 22, 19 through 21 tells me he is because he could have told us we don't have to pay taxes. And he chose to tell us to pay taxes anyway. He said, here, show me the coin used for the tax. And when they handed Jesus a Roman coin, he asked, whose picture entitled or stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. And Jesus said, well then, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. If there's one thing I wish that could change versus what Jesus said, it would be this. Because if he told us we did not have to pay taxes, guess what we wouldn't be doing today? Paying taxes. You would have more money in your pocket because we would have a religious exemption. And honestly, if Jesus would have told us then to not pay taxes, that our government, the governments throughout the history of the world would be totally different. Because Christians back then, more so than today, I would say, were more committed to Jesus' teachings. And if Jesus told them not to pay taxes, they wouldn't have. But unfortunately for us, Jesus told us to pay taxes. Now, if he wanted to do away with government, he could have said not to pay taxes. But the very fact that he does tell us to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what belongs to God tells us, unfortunately, we got to pay taxes. Paul confirmed that Jesus was for, or God is for, government. He said in Romans 13, 1, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. Peter also confirmed it. Here's what he said in 1 Peter 2:13 through 14. He said, "For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials that he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right." So Peter, who followed Jesus, who was with Jesus, tells us that we are to submit to all human authority, and he specifically references kings as the head of state. At the very end of that, though, he says something important that Paul also confirms in Romans 13. The king has sent his officials to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. So let's talk about what government is supposed to do according to the Word of God. The government is there to, number one, promote what is good. Number two, punish what is evil. And number three, ultimately to provide order. Paul tells us the promoting good part in Romans 13:3. He says that the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Then do what is right, and they will honor you. So in other words, if you don't want to be afraid of the government, don't give the government anything to punish you about. That's why I don't really care if my phone's listening to me, because I'm not doing anything wrong. So come and get me, but you're not going to get me for anything true. They're also there, though, to punish evil. Romans 13, 4 through 5, the authorities are God's servants. They are sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid of them. For they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. So when someone does something wrong, the government is the one who is there to punish them. And we see that take place in our justice system time and time again. And ultimately, if they are promoting good and if they're punishing evil, what that will do is that will provide order for that nation, for that country. But when they promote evil and when they punish good, there will actually be chaos. See, here's another truth for us, and I don't have it written out, but I can tell you what I would have written out, but I wanted to kind of give us a visual. The closer the government is aligned to the principles in the Word of God, the more order there will be. But the more distance there is, indicated by the two arrows, between what the government promotes and what the Bible says, there will be more chaos. And is that not what we see taking place today? The government is unfortunately saying things are okay that are not okay. I have thought about how many babies have been killed since Roe v. Wade in 1973. Somewhere around 70 million. 70 million babies killed since 1973. And if you've done any type of pro-life ministry, if you ever went to Love Life with us, if you've worked with Your Choices Randolph, you know that it's not only those 70 million babies that are affected. The parents, specifically the mom, has to live with guilt for the rest of her life and shame for killing their child. And that often sets in right after the abortion takes place. And so this is something we're realizing more and more. And so there's more ministries out there actually to help a mom even after she's aborted the baby, because it affects them. It affects their mental health. And it affects their mental health. Guess who it affects? Their future children, their current children. It affects their family. It affects their friends. It affects marriages. It affects relationships. What does it do? It creates chaos. Why? Because the government has told us that abortion is okay. They have separated themselves from the Word of God. And because of that, we've invited chaos into our nation. Another example, you hear about these often in bigger cities such as San Francisco over in California. They don't punish people for doing wrong. You can go get caught for looting and you're going to be out a few minutes later. Or you can be selling drugs and you're going to be out a few minutes later. And what's happening is creating more and more chaos in those cities to the point that people are moving out of the cities and into other states. Unfortunately, our government has promoted things that are not biblical, and because of it, there has been chaos. But this is where Christians should come in. Christians should be for the concept of government, and therefore, we should vote. We are blessed to live in a country where our voice can be heard through our vote. One cool thing about our country is it doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter how much money you have, you all have an equal voice. My vote counts just as much as your vote. My vote counts as just as much as Donald Trump's vote. My vote counts just as much as Joe Biden's vote. That right there is, we're on an equal playing ground. And so we should be letting our voice be heard. And what we should look for is who is going to promote as much good as possible and who is going to punish as much evil as possible. And so we should make sure our voice is heard by voting here in November or early voting if you choose to do so. And I think this part, not many Christians are going to disagree with this. The disagreements begin with which party or person actually promotes good and punishes evil. I know we have many conservatives in Randolph County. There are 94,000 registered voters. Anybody want to guess how many of those are Republicans? 36? Wrong. No. Closer than 36 was closer, but it's 49. 49,277 Republicans. So about half. How many Democrats? 15,000. And there's 29,000 unaffiliated. When I had to renew my license, I went from Republican to unaffiliated. In the 2020 election, 56,000 people voted for Trump and 15,000 voted for Biden. So pretty much all the Democrats voted for Biden, and Republicans and some of the unaffiliated voted for Trump. We live in a solidly conservative county. In fact, I was on a Zoom call with people from across the country the other day, and we were discussing the Westland Church's stance on abortion and some changes that we might make to it. And I said, just so y'all know my context, I said, I live in a very red county. I said, to the point that Trump came the other week. I said, we live in a very red county. This does not mean, though, that I'm going to play towards the conservative side during this series. If I wanted to grow our church through non-biblical means, that's exactly what I would do. And there are plenty of churches here in Randolph County doing exactly that, hitting on all the issues that Republicans are strong on and basically tickling your ears and you want to come and hear them more. And that's happening. Knowing that I probably have mostly conservatives in this room means that I am going to be harder on that side. And the reason why is because the whole point of this series, we put Jesus' truth over the Republican tribe. So here's the second thing we can learn from Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus addressed political issues without belonging to any politically partisan tribe. And I'm using the tribe language there. Political means that it relates to government or the conduct of government. And so there are political issues today that relate to the government or the conduct of government that we should be speaking into. But Jesus did not belong to any partisan tribe. Partisan means a strong supporter of a party, cause, or person. In other words, Jesus didn't throw his support behind one political party or another during his ministry. There were multiple political parties, if you wanted to call them that, during that time. And Jesus had followers from pretty much all of them. The first political party that we kind of want to list is the Roman Empire. These were the big government types. So today, Democrats tend to believe in big government. So if you wanted to equate a political party back then to a party today, the Roman Empire and those who belonged to the Roman Empire that supported the Roman Empire would have believed in big government that kind of keeps a handle on everything going on. Matthew, the tax collector, was a part of the Roman government. I mean, he was a tax collector. So, of course, he was a part of the Roman party. Another political party would have been the Jewish authorities. These were the Pharisees and Sadducees. They're the ones who would promote their beliefs more so than anything else. And I was trying to think about who I would equate them to. Maybe somewhat the libertarian, like not wanting too much the government to speak too much into things in the world. But then the last group would be the Zealots. These were Jewish patriots who advocated that any and all methods were justified to escape Roman rule. They would often be violent. But ultimately, what their core beliefs was in small government. They thought that the Roman government should not be controlling very much. Republicans have historically been small government focused. And of course, Jesus had a follower named Simon, who was a zealot. So here, Jesus has two different groups represented in his disciples. He has one that's coming from a big government background, and he has one that's against the big government, yet they united under the tribe of Jesus Christ. Same thing can happen today. Jesus, in his teachings, he would address political issues, such as taking care of the poor. He would call for social justice, such as taking care of the widows and the oppressed, who often the masses or the government forgot. And of course, he would address many moral issues, including greed, adultery, marriage, forgiveness, violence, etc. And often what Jesus was teaching went against the grain of what the governments believed and promoted. But yet Jesus would address them because they were spiritual issues. Jesus also spoke truth to all of those in power. In Matthew 23:23, he says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? You're hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Yes, you should tithe, but do not neglect the more important things." We talked about in the last series that these Pharisees, these guys, they are top level in the Jewish society. They're the ones who are going around parading in the streets, wanting people to notice them, and Jesus is not afraid to call them hypocrites and to call them out for what they're doing wrong. He did the same thing with some other rulers. Luke 13, 31 through 32, some Pharisees told Jesus, "Get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you." And Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and the third day I will accomplish my purpose." Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and Jesus called him a fox, which was not a compliment at all. And then right before Jesus' death, he goes before Pilate. And Jesus does not back down from speaking the truth. Pilate took Jesus back into the headquarters again, and he asked him, "Where are you from?" And Jesus gave no answer. He says, "Why don't you talk to me? Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you?" And then Jesus said, and this is the truth, is it not? "You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." That took some guts to tell Pilate, "You may think you're powerful, but ultimately you wouldn't have no power if it wasn't given to you from above." Jesus didn't care who you were. He didn't care what political party you belonged to. He'd speak truth to you. He didn't throw his full weight behind any of the groups involved during his day. In fact, he spoke out against all of them. And Jesus actually had the chance to form his own political tribe, but he didn't. John 6:15, they said they saw Jesus and they were ready to force him to be their king. Jesus could have came and started his own political party that would overthrow, because Jesus is God, would have overthrown every government and every authority. And yet Jesus chose not to, not at that time anyway. Jesus was not very concerned with getting involved in the politics of his day, yet he did speak to political issues because those political issues are spiritual issues. And so we can learn from Jesus and say that we should address political issues because they are spiritual issues. But we should not fall for tribal, partisan politics. So yes, speak truth in today's culture. Speak God's word. Stand up for what the Bible says. Vote for people who have policies that align with God's word. But we should not fall for the tribal, partisan politics of today, where we tend to put all of our full weight behind the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. We should not fall for that, because none of the political tribes in the world today have policies that align completely with God's word. None of our political parties are perfect. Last time I preached this sermon, I was able to say that I want to talk about what some people think that both parties have going for them. So I'll do the Democrat first, then we'll come back. Some people believe that the Democratic Party platform speaks to the issues of social justice, racial inequality, and help for the poor. At the time that I preached this sermon last time, I could say that many people believe that the Republican Party spoke to the moral issues facing our nation, including the abomination of abortion. Unfortunately, I can't say that this time. Not a lot of people know this, and so I took the clip from the Republican platform. Republicans will protect and defend a vote of the people from within the states on the issue of life. In other words, Republicans in this election are pro-choice. They believe that people should decide on the abortion issue. I will say that they oppose late-term abortion, while supporting mothers and policies that advance prenatal care, access to birth control, and IVF. They say they proudly stand for families and life. They believe the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States guarantees that no person can be denied life or liberty without due process, and that the states are therefore free to pass laws protecting those rights. Here's what the Republican platform used to say. We assert that the sanctity of human life and affirm that the unborn child has a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. We support a human life amendment to the Constitution and legislation to make clear that the 14th Amendment's protections apply to children before birth. As a pro-life person through and through, I stand with that statement a whole lot more than this statement. This statement's not far from what the Democrats believe. They believe in some late-term abortion, I believe, but this is pro-choice. This is pro-life. And so I just want you to know what you're voting for. I was disappointed when I saw that this came out from the Republican convention and is part of the Republican platform. So when you vote, and from what I've heard, this came directly from Trump, that he wanted this in the Republican platform. And you also see that it was really wordy there, and this was just part of the pro-life in the previous one. This is not very wordy, but this is basically saying people can choose. They believe the state should choose on whether to have they allow abortions in their state or not, which is a pro-choice position. I'm a lot more for this because I do believe babies have rights under the 14th Amendment. I believe they have rights given to them by God, and no mother and no father should ever determine whether they should be able to have life or not. Abortion is murder. And in our lifetimes, this is the first time that we have both political parties that are for murder. This is why you should never play the partisan politics game. Because if you have come out previously as so pro-Republican that you go with everything the Republican Party says, guess what people think you are now? Pro-choice. Someone said murder. That's even better, because that's the truth of it. The bad thing is that no matter which side of the aisle you own, you think Christians on the other side are completely wrong. I'm going to play you a clip, not today. I will play it probably next Sunday or one of the Sundays. But you can hear in the clip different pastors and different leaders saying, you cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat. And then they have another one that turns around and says, you cannot be a Christian and vote Republican. Like, we accuse each other of the same thing. And yet, neither party is completely right. Neither party is completely in the good. Neither party has a completely Christian platform. And that's just one example. And I just wanted to bring that one up because it's changed since the last time I preached this sermon. If you heard the sermon before, this is what stuck with people. Some people are more Republican than they are Christian. And I call them Republican Christians because they are Republicans first and they're Christians second. If you had them write down all of their beliefs would align more with the Republican Party than with Jesus Christ. And that's a shame. Instead, what we can be is we can be Christians first who maybe vote Republican. But our beliefs align with Christianity above all else, and we take what Jesus has taught us and look at how to apply it in the political sphere. And in this county, we are real bad about believing every Republican is a Christian. And every Christian is a Republican. They are not equal in any way. We need to get that out of our head. So what should we do? Tony Evans talked about how, you know, we have these light drinks now, like Dr. Pepper Light or Coke Light or Pepsi Light. Funny story out here in the dumpster out here, I was looking and there's a beer can in there. And I said, how did that get in there? And so I mentioned it in our discipleship meeting on Tuesday with our table gathering leaders, and Wes raises his hand, and I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And I said, what? He said, I found that in the ditch. And I said, sure you did. It was a Budweiser Zero. Is that what it's called? Budweiser Zero. So it has no alcohol. And so it's kind of like a light drink. It claims to be Budweiser, but it's not Budweiser because it doesn't have alcohol. Hey, you can vote Republican, you can vote Democrat, you can be Republican light, you can be Democrat light, but you should not be all in on one or the other. It is dangerous to go all in with a political party because at some point they will get something wrong. And if you go all in on one party or another, people are going to think that you support everything about that particular candidate or that party. And so if you come out and you say, I'm Republican, we're 100% Republican, there are churches that will come out and say they are for Trump, they are Trump church, so on and so forth. What happens then is it alienates the other side. So you think any Democrat's going to want to really come into a church that they know is full of a bunch of Trumpers? Probably not. It alienates the other side and it hinders our ability to share the gospel with them, which is our main purpose on this earth. It's not to ensure that Donald Trump gets elected. It's to make disciples of Jesus. And so, yes, you can lean one way or the other, but don't put your full support in either, because neither is completely biblical. And remember, there are other parties. There are those that believe that a vote for the other party could show the two main parties that we aren't happy and they need to get us some better candidates. I'm tired of our candidates. I voted, I guess I've been voting since 2012. So I've done 2012, 2016, 2020, 2024. And I've not been happy with any of them, really. There's a day and time, not in my lifetime, but in some of your lifetime, you probably were pretty supportive of some of those candidates and were proud to have them as your president. And you may have even been proud to have them as your president, even if they were a part of the different party. But today, I don't know many people that's proud of the people that are running. And so, yes, we need to make our voice heard in the political realm. Jesus addressed political issues because they are spiritual issues, but he was not politically partisan. We should address political issues because they are spiritual issues, but we should not be politically partisan. There's plenty of that running around today. Don't add to it. Instead, promote biblical truth without being partisan to one side. See, Jesus was not partisan ultimately because he understood he belonged to a different kingdom. John 18:36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." We just got out of a series talking about the upside down nature of the kingdom of God. Jesus understood he didn't have to take sides on this earth because he wasn't on either side. He belonged to the kingdom of God. There's a cool story in the Old Testament where Joshua is leading Israel into Jericho. And so we're told in verse 13 that they're near Jericho. And Joshua looks up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and he said, "Are you friend or are you foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." And at this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence and he says, "I am at your command. What do you want your servant to do?" So here's God sending an angel, the commander of the Lord's army, to Israel, to Joshua, the leader of Israel's at the time, and he is saying, "Are you friend or foe? Are you here to hurt us or are you here to help us?" And he said, "Neither." In other words, the angel said, "I belong to a different tribe. I belong to the tribe of God." And if the angel said that in regards to Israel, you better believe God would say that in regards to the Republican or Democrat parties today. But I love Joshua's response. He bows down and he offers himself as a servant. This should be our posture when it comes to politics. We shouldn't be a servant to Donald Trump. We shouldn't be a servant to Kamala Harris. We shouldn't be a servant to the Republican Party, to the Democrat Party. We should first and foremost be servants to God, because we must understand that we belong to God's kingdom. Covered this multiple times in the last series, but we'll read it again. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are Christ's ambassadors. Ambassadors are foreigners in another country who represent their home country. We are foreigners in this world, but we ultimately represent our heavenly kingdom. And so we have ambassadors in Great Britain, we have ambassadors in Germany and Australia, so on and so forth. And what are they doing over there in those other countries? They are promoting the interest of the United States in these foreign countries. As an ambassador for God's kingdom, that is your job, to promote God's kingdom agenda in this world. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need." So in other words, focus on what he has called us to do as citizens of the kingdom of God. And degrading Democrats and degrading Republicans and using all the terms that have been come up with today in our political atmosphere, including terms that mean cuss words in other senses, and you know which term I'm talking about there, that's not the ways of the kingdom of God. We have to keep our focus on being a follower of Jesus, on making disciples of Jesus, of being kingdom-minded. And that means that we need to ask these questions before everything we say or do. First question would be, will this bring glory to God? Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, whatever you post on Facebook, whatever you say to your family and friends, whatever shirt you wear, whatever flag you wave, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Second question we need to ask ourselves is, will this help me make disciples of Jesus? And I'll add a little bit different way of saying that in there. Or will it help me make disciples of Donald J. Trump or Kamala Harris? If it doesn't help you make disciples of Jesus, then don't say it. You don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. Ultimately, being partisan doesn't. So today, the way we're going to end is that I'm going to encourage you to be a kingdom independent that puts truth over every worldly tribe. Basically, what I want you to do today is I want you to understand that you're a citizen of the kingdom of God first, and everything else flows out of that understanding. Realizing that your identity begins with being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, then a citizen of the kingdom of America, and then a Republican or Democrat or whatever party you want to identify with. Growing up in Randolph County, especially out there in the sticks of Erect, North Carolina, here's what I understood. I understood that one party was good and one party was bad. And if you belonged to the other party, you were bad. My first really way of dealing with this, or time dealing with this, was when I was working at Food Lion. I worked the night of the election. And that was back when we would know that night who won, because we don't do that anymore, apparently, even with our technological advances. And we knew Obama had won in 2012. And I was like the only one that was not happy. And yet, I highly respected the other people I worked with. I don't know if any of them necessarily claimed to be Christians, but they were good people. And it really started to shake me up a little bit and realizing that, hey, I can be friends with Democrats. Hey, I can be friends with people from the other party. I don't have to avoid them at all costs. But see, the reason why I would avoid them and the reason why I would think they were bad is because my actions were not being driven out of my identity as a follower of Jesus, but they were being driven out of my identity as a conservative Republican. But the truth is God loves all. He cares for all, and he's wanting to be in a relationship with all. And he wants you and me to be a means to them coming to him, including those on the opposite political side. See, what gets me is that a lot of Republicans think Democrats are not Christians, and yet they alienate themselves from the Democrats. They don't want nothing to do with them, and they stay in their echo chamber in the Republican Party. When if we were citizens of the kingdom of God first, we would be doing everything we could to reach across the aisle and bring them into the kingdom of God. That's the mindset we should have. We need to be vessels for God. And how can I be a vessel for God when I don't want nothing to do with the other party? Because they're my enemies. Instead, we have to allow our identity as a Christian to be our foundation. Then everything else I do and you do will grow out of that understanding. Because we look forward to the day. We just sang about he who is to come. We look forward to the day where God's kingdom will replace every human kingdom. And we can get a taste of that right now. But it takes us living a Christ-centered life. As the worship team comes up, we're going to sing Simple Kingdom. And if you know the song, it went really well with our Upside Down series. But just a reminder that we belong to God's kingdom. And what I want you to do today as your action response is to come up to the front here, and there are little slips of paper up here that Kathy cut for us. So if they're messed up, you can talk to her. This one's not straight. No, a lot of them are straight. It don't matter. But this little piece of paper says, today, I, and then write your name, am registering as a kingdom independent because I understand that I first and foremost am a citizen of the kingdom of God. And I know this is simple, this is silly, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I'm hoping that when you write this down, because guess what you had to do one day? You had to write down whether you belong to the Republican Party or the Democrat Party or the Libertarian Party or whatever other party. And we didn't think that was silly. And that wasn't even before God. We're doing this in church before God, saying, God, I first and foremost belong to your kingdom above everything else. And so I'm registering as an independent today. That's one reason why I literally registered as an independent, because I don't belong to the Republican Party. I certainly don't belong to the Democrat Party. I belong to God's party. I belong to God's kingdom. And so today, as the worship team sings, I'm going to invite you to come up. We got, I think we got about 60 here, so there's plenty of space, and you can kind of spread out over here if you want to fill more people filling out. But I want you to fold it and put it in this box like it's a ballot box, casting your stance when it comes to politics today. So if you will, go and stand to your feet and